What did he say, Diane?
He's good.
Guess what? The young lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight, I guarantee you, this young lady is probably one of the most loved young ladies in the entire world. Everybody loves her. She just glides about on the earth and does for everybody that she can possibly do for, give them whatever, you know, if they need food, she's going to be there with it. She's just amazing, and she's raised her children to be these beautiful young women. She's grandma. I can't believe that. But she tells me she is. I'll have to believe it. But she's just delightful. And do you see how her family has come here to be with her tonight? That's her mama sitting there beside her with a grin on her face. And her daughter there smooching that boy. See, look at that. Well, see, she didn't know I was looking. Oh, her children are beautiful. She's beautiful. And this is our Charlene.
I'm going to try and put this up here because this is a picture of my dad. And I'm going to be talking about tonight my relationship with my dad, who is actually helped facilitate my being into the material world. I had recently the grand experience of stumbling. It's a whole God story how this happened, but I had I was so blessed to be able to hear a Dharma talk from a Vietnamese Zen Buddhist priest named Thay Thich Nhat Hanh, and I don't know if anybody's familiar with him, but he is just a divine being that he teaches peace and love throughout the world. And he's 85 years old, and that's still his mission, and he travels all over the world teaching love and peace and harmony and mindfulness and how to live in the present moment. And one of the great quotes that inspired me that he said is, "There is mud, and there is the lotus that grows out of the mud. We need the mud in order to make the lotus." And during his Dharma talk, I'll just paraphrase some of the things that he said. I brought each one a copy of this talk that I was blessed to hear him speak. It was amazing and life-transforming, but I'll paraphrase some of it for you just to open up the talk about my dad. And he said, you know, there's this... His teacher, his master, told him that human beings are afflicted by this one condition, and it's the way they see the world, and it's being or non-being. So as we look at a cloud, we think, as we see the cloud, that it's a thing, and it has not come from nothing. It has a place of origin, which is water from the ocean or evaporation, etc. Before it was a cloud, it was there, and you just could not see it. It was another form. So there's the wrong thinking, and we see the cloud, and we think, well, it came from non-being. But no, the cloud did come from something, which is water. So it did have a beginning before it became a cloud. And then he went on to say that if you can't see a cloud in your tea, then you're not accurately looking at your tea. And if you can't see your tea in a cloud, then you're not accurately looking at the cloud. And he said, if you cannot see your grandparents in you, then you're not looking at yourself and you're not looking at your grandparents. And he said, you know, we see our grandparents or great-grandparents and we think about them and we think, well, they're not being anymore. And there again is our wrong thinking, because if we look around, we'll see our ancestors everywhere around, in the trees and the earth, because their bodies return to the earth, so they are still being. They still exist. And he said, if you look around, if you look closely, you can see the clouds in your tea, and you are like the cloud. And if you look closely, you will see that the soil is a culmination of something that is non-soil particles. It's a culmination of dead leaves and manure and minerals and calcium. It has a lot of different components, and it's also composed of the same elements that the cosmos are composed of. So once again, the dirt always has been and always will be. And if we look at the cosmos and we don't see ourselves in the cosmos, then we're not actually looking at the cosmos. And if we don't see the cosmos in ourselves, that we're not actually looking at ourselves. And he said, we are all comprised of something, and when we think about ourselves, we think, well, you know, we come from a mother and a father and grandparents. We're a product of this physical thing that is a being. And if you look past your physical self, you'll see that you're a culmination of your father and your mother. And if you can't see yourself in your father, then you're not actually looking at your father. And if you can't see your father in yourself, then you're not actually looking at yourself. And one of the greatest parts of this talk that I heard was when he came to the lotus, how the lotus is, it grows out of filthy, stinky mud. And that's the only way it could grow, is in this filth. And if you're not looking, if you don't see the mud in the lotus, then you're not actually looking at the lotus. And if you don't see the lotus in the mud, then you're not actually looking at the mud. So this brings me to when he was talking about this, I kept thinking about my dad and thinking about my relationship with my dad. And, you know, I have the most wonderful relationship with my mom, and those of you who know me and you know my mom know that I'm very close to my mom. My mom's been one of my greatest teachers in my life, and very rarely do I talk about my dad. And my dad, I had a really, really, really strange relationship with my dad. My dad, in my early years, was a very abusive, physically and emotionally alcoholic. And my dad's Middle Eastern, so I don't know if you know too much about Middle Eastern men, but like right off the bat, being a girl, I was just in big trouble, just being the girl of a Middle Eastern man. So growing up, we weren't allowed to speak up for ourselves. We were just to remain silent all the time. We couldn't, we had no like freedom, or we couldn't even be children. We couldn't, I remember once my brother was just bouncing a ball against the side of the house, and he got beat with a belt just for that offense. So I had this, you know, I've had this terrifying childhood with my dad, and then watching him be physically abusive to my mom too. So like all this stuff's playing out when I was a kid. And then in my teenage years, it was so oppressive that I ran away when I was 16. And then pretty much never went back. I went back for a short period of time when I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, Brittany, who most of you know. But for the most part, I left home, and then I got married early. And my relationship with my dad kind of set me up to have like these dysfunctional relationships with men, including Salvador, who I'm just so lucky to have here tonight because he's my second husband, and he taught me a lot about love. And how to still love somebody even though you cannot be in their space anymore. And I'm really honored to have him in my life. But, you know, as I grew older, I began to see my dad as a human being. And how that came about or when that came about, I'm not actually sure. I think it was one time when I was probably when Julia was a baby. And finally, in my whole life, had never really spoken back to my dad. And I remember once he was cussing at me and telling me never to come in his house for some reason. I can't even remember some trivial thing that I did. And finally, I said, you know what? You are never going to talk to me like that again. Ever. Do you understand me? Ever. And I walked out of his house, and at that moment, everything shifted. And by that time, he was kind of ill, and my dad, when he quit drinking, kind of retired into his room and kind of checked out of his life completely, and very rarely did he leave his room. But from that room, I started to see this human being that wasn't my dad emerge. As I started to look at him as a whole separate being and not my dad, not my abusive dad. And then as my kids came along and my nieces, I started to see the love that came from him for them. And as I watched how he loved my kids and my nieces, I started to see the love that was within him for me. And I started to reflect back on my childhood and see how, you know, the neglect and the abuse and all that molded me, started to mold me. Like, you know, I had to have a heightened awareness when my dad came home, because I had to figure out how I was to be in order not to get beaten, or how I was to be just to be safe. So that heightened my awareness to human beings. I became very aware and conscious of everybody around me and their emotions. And just from that experience put me in a space to be more compassionate to human beings, because I could feel their energy and I could feel their pain. So as the few years progressed up to his death, I started to see this whole man emerge. And you know what I forgot when I was a teenager is that my dad, and during the Vietnam War, my dad sponsored families from Vietnam, and he went against a whole community because he sponsored Vietnamese families into the U.S. And he had threats against him and everything. I remember the news at our house and everything. And I started to recall how my dad used to collect clothing and food and money and take it down to people in Tijuana who had nothing. They had absolutely nothing. So once I started like letting this fear and anger subside, I started to see the whole man emerge. And the closer, you know, my dad was actually the first one who introduced me to spiritualism. My dad used to do automatic writing, and he used to tune into the angel kingdom and give messages to people. So my dad actually helped facilitate me being here. And then, you know, as I reconnected back with my dad right before he died, he gave me some of the most beautiful messages I have ever received from the angel kingdom. And I started to see how much my dad loved me, regardless of the person that he was. There was this deep, spiritual, loving man who would have died for anybody in his family. And then I started to look at myself and how I could see my dad in me, how he planted the seeds for me to look beyond myself and to look at other human beings and see what they need and then do my best to provide it to them. So out of this muck and mire of a dysfunctional, painful childhood emerged this lotus, which is the love that my dad had for each one of his children and his grandchildren. And I'm just deeply indebted to my dad, because my dad shaped who I am today. He really shaped who I am today. And I just feel like the luckiest person in the world to have my childhood and to have my mom and to have my dad as my parents, because my dad was awesome. He was really an awesome human being. And I'd just like to end with this quote. Like the lotus, you experience three primary stages of evolution. The first is marked by ignorance and darkness, when you lie below the dense mud, a closed chrysalis, which by the nature of its existence, will eventually be pulled upward by the warmth of the sun. The second is exemplified by the climb through the clouded waters of your emotional experience, yet still the flower reaches to the sun, knowing no other destiny, no other purpose. The third brings full illumination and the splendor of the light. The lotus flower blossoms, bearing its exquisite beauty to all those who are aware enough to recognize God unfolding. And I'll leave you with that. And over 20 years ago, I took this picture of a lotus in Balboa Park, and I made a copy for each one of you. For each one of you are a lotus, a beautiful unfolded lotus. And also, I made copies for everybody of that Dharma talk that Nyit Thanh Hanh had made. So I have made a copy for each one of you. And just listen to it. It'll change your life like it changed mine. And thank you so much. And I love you all. I love each and every one of you have changed my life, especially Millie, because when I met Millie, I was just broken. My life was broken. My next marriage was broken. And she kept loving me through all of that until I came back to church. Every time I saw Millie at DZ Aiken, she'd say, come when your heart tells you to. And she saved my life because she kept loving me, even when I couldn't love myself anymore. Millie was there. Millie really changed my life. Honestly, I love you so much. Thank you.